We are beginning our study of the book of the Revelation, and I want to begin by inserting a piece of the puzzle that needs to be a part in order for the book of the Revelation to jump alive to us. I speak, of course, of the Lord Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24. So if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the gospel of the kingdom being preached to all the world as a witness to the nations. Then the end will come. That's in verse 14 of Matthew 24. And then he says in verse 15, beginning with the little word, therefore, when, that's a time word, you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Jesus himself, right here, takes the reader back to Daniel. No one inserted his words here, they're his words written. And we go back to the book of Daniel to find out about this abomination of desolation that Jesus is speaking of. He's answering the question that the disciples had asked about his Sermon on the Mount and the destruction of the temple. And back in chapter 24, if we read in verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming? The when is answered in verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. And the what is answered down in verse 21. It says, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. In other words, these events have never happened before, nor will they ever happen again. There are those who want desperately for this generation right here to be the generation that it's talking about that's going to be alive when all of these things have happened, which would make it history, not prophecy. But that's not the case. It's clear what Jesus says in verse 21 of chapter 24. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world. That's a blanket statement. Until this time, nor ever shall be. Period. In other words, this is speaking of a time yet to come. A time never before written about, talked about. This great tribulation is coming. So in order to really catch this, we need to go back and follow the words of Jesus. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. So let's do that. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, the great teacher, would teach our human spirits the things of the Spirit of God. May He make your word jump alive to us, and may it be a great blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want us to turn back then to Daniel. This is where Jesus is referring his disciples to, back in Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, it says in verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So when Daniel went into Babylon at the Babylonian captivity, he went in carrying the books and the books of Jeremiah concerning the length of the Babylonian captivity, which was 70 years. So reading those books, reading that book of Jeremiah, Daniel came to the understanding that the 70-year captivity was coming to an end. And right away, Daniel began to think about his people, the Jews, and Jerusalem, the holy city, and what's going to happen to them. What is their future? So beginning, if you look over in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 9, we begin to get the answer. God sends Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, to Daniel with the answer. And in verse 19, we read, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay. For your own sake, my God, for your city, and for your people called by your name." Now down in verse 21, we read these words, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering." Verse 22, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have come forth to give you skill to understand." So Gabriel is sent by God to Daniel to answer his prayer concerning the city of Jerusalem and the people of Israel now that the 70-year captivity is coming to an end. So we begin what we call the 70th week of Daniel, beginning in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9. And the Hebrew reads, "Shabuah Shabuim," or 70 sevens. Now this can be 70 sevens of anything: days, weeks, hours, minutes, years. But we know from the context that it's 70 weeks of years, 70 sevens of years, are 490 years, are determined. The word determined here in the Hebrew is to be cut off. This time period is cut off from the rest of time so that we can understand it. 70 sevens, 490 years, are determined for your people, that's the Jews, and for your holy city, that's Jerusalem. Now we have six events to occur during that time. Number one, to finish the transgression, that's Israel's rebellion, will cease. Number two, to make an end of sins, to seal up sin. Sin is now going to be, the sin of Israel is going to be restrained, and sin is going to be restrained. And then we read, to make reconciliation for iniquity. The value of Christ's death is applied then to Israel. Now, to continue, to bring in everlasting righteousness. This is kingdom righteousness. To seal up the vision and prophecy, all prophecy is going to be fulfilled. There will be no more need for visions or prophecy. And finally, the last one, and to anoint the most holy place, that is the future temple. The future Holy of Holies will be set apart to God. Now we begin in verse 25, some specifics of the prophecy. Know therefore, that's important. Know therefore, this is something we're to know. And understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Now that command is given, we know, by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 2. And we can calculate the exact time that Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah to return and rebuild the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And that time is March the 14th, 445 BC. Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah the command to go back and rebuild the temple, restore Israel, and build a protection for his people, the Jews. So from the going forth of the command, that's the date, and we see no day given here. It's the date is Nisan, which is March. And the way we came up with March the 14th is if no date is given, then we assume it's the first day of the month, which in our calendar would be March the 14th. And then it's 445 BC, because it's in the 20th year of the reign of Artaxerxes. So in the 20th year of Artaxerxes would be that exact date, March the 14th, 445 BC. If he came to reign in 465 BC, then in the 20th year of his reign would be 445 BC. So we have March the 14th, 445 BC. That's the command given here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. And then we see the word until. Circle that word. That's a time word. Until Messiah the Prince. That's talking obviously about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have from the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. Then we're given the time frame. There shall be 7 weeks, 7 sevens, 49 years, and 62 weeks. That's 334 years. And if you add the 49 plus, that's 49 to rebuild the city and the walls, to the 434, you come up with 483 years. And then it says, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. So now we see this prophecy being broken down into time segments. 49 plus 434 equals 483 years. And it again, it says the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. That even in troublesome times indicates it's not going to be an easy task to rebuild the wall. There are enemies there that don't want the wall to be rebuilt. And they're constantly harassing Nehemiah and his building crew in the restoration of the city of Jerusalem. And then it says in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, now that's 62 weeks, 434 years plus the 49 to rebuild the city, you have 483 years. After 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off in death. That's the idea of being cut off, but not for himself. He'll be crucified. So the point being, they could figure the exact time of his crucifixion. Those who had an interest in Daniel and did the math, they could come to that conclusion. If I go back in the Bible to Luke 19, I read this. Jesus is speaking as he ascends down the Mount of Olives. It says, as he drew near the city in verse 41, this is Luke 19, verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. The point being, had they studied Daniel, had they followed the words of Jesus back to Daniel 9, where we are, they could have calculated the very day that Jesus would come into Jerusalem riding on the donkey, and the very day that Jesus would have died on the cross. They could have known it. Had they known Daniel 9, 24 through 27, it all would have become very clear to them. Now back in Daniel 9, it says in verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. That's after his death, the 49 plus the 434 years, 483 years. That is, if you could do this, if you had the ability to chart that date given by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah, exactly that date, and you could start a stopwatch right there and calculate the number of days, you would come up with exactly 173,880 days, which would bring you from that point, from the command given by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah, all the way to the cross of Calvary, exactly. And you would come up with April the 11th, AD 32. That thrills your heart. From March the 14th, 445 BC, till April the 11th, AD 32. Exactly. And that's one of those areas of the Word of God that if you get the numbers down and you calculate the time, you know that man didn't write it. God himself wrote it. Now back in verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9, and after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. That's the crucifixion. Messiah shall be cut off. That's talking about, obviously, in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, we see the crucifixion being mentioned. That's exciting in itself, but not for himself. He died for his people, died for his sheep. And then it says, and we continue the prophecy, and the people of the prince who is to come, a different prince. This is a different prince from Messiah the prince, located up in verse 25. This is the people of the prince who is to come. Now we know from history, it's the Romans. The people of the prince who is to come is the Romans. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That happened in 70 AD under Titus Vespasius, a Roman general. He destroyed the city and the temple. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. All the way through Israel's history, we see desolations being carried out. They've never been a people that had peace. There's always been war and rumors of war that surrounded the Jews, their whole entire history. And then it says in verse 27, then he, circle that he, the he is the one who is the prince of the people that was to come, who I think is a Roman. This is my view. The Antichrist will be a Roman. And the Antichrist will be, I think, probably, this is just my view, the Roman Catholic Pope of the time. And I may be wrong, but that's just my view. I think it will be the Pope. Then he, that is, the prince who is to come, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. That is, this pope is going to confirm an agreement with Israel for peace. It could be land for peace. It could be anything that Israel has in the way of commodities, oil, whatever. Whatever it is, he promises to bring them peace, and he signs a covenant for 7 years. A 7-year agreement between the one who we know, we're going to find out in Revelation 13 as being the beast. He's called the evil one. He's called the man of sin, the little horn, all the same person, the Antichrist. He says, in the middle of the week, however, continuing to read, he'll confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years, to be their protector. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings. He breaks his word. He breaks his word, and he turns on them with a vengeance. And we're going to see that in the book of the Revelation, he is actually indwelt by Satan himself at that point. And it's Satan's one desire to always have destroyed the people who gave birth to Jesus Christ, the one who has promised to kill him, the seed of the woman who has promised to kill him, to take his life. And he wants to do away with him completely. So in the middle of the week, he breaks the covenant and he puts an end to sacrifice and offerings, continuing in verse 27. And then it says, on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. Now that's when Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's him. That's the one right there. That's the very place that Jesus was referring to. If you could put a finger on a spot when Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, run for your lives. This is the very spot he was talking about right here. And it says, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. He's the abomination of desolation. Now again, it's difficult to wind one's way through this, but for those who take the time to do it, it's great value. You realize that God had to write this. God is the one who put it in writing, that we can follow it all the way through. And keep in mind, now it's not the generation that was there at the time, can't be. Passage, Matthew 24, talking about the what. The when would be when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. The what would be the great tribulation that's coming. And that's 7 years. In other words, that 7-year time period is cut away from the 490 years. 7-year tribulation is not a part at first of the 490 years. It's cut away. And we're living in a time now that we call, many call the gap, many call an intercalation. I call it the church age. We're living in a time when Jesus Christ is building his church right now. And though it's never called a mystery, the church is never called a mystery, everything that surrounds it is called a mystery. Everything that surrounds the church is called a mystery in the scripture. And it's very mysterious. We're living in a time of mystery. But one day, we're going to be gone. And when we're removed, God is going to finish the 490 years that he started with that command given by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah back in Nehemiah chapter 2. He's going to finish it. He's going to reposition the 7 years into the 483 years to complete the 490 years that are determined upon the nation of Israel to finish the transaction, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. He will finish it at that point. No human being could have put this together and made it stick. And again, we can't be talking about the generation that was alive during that day. The text will not allow it. It's talking about a time that's yet to come. We're talking about a future tribulation period that will last 7 years. We're ready for our study of the book of the Revelation now, with that in our thinking. We have this 7 years to finish the 490 years. We're living in the age now of the church, but one day the church is going to be removed. And when the church is removed, evil will have its heyday. And we'll see this played out in the book of the Revelation in the judgments talked about there. The seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. But that's a story for another time. We will begin the study of the book of the Revelation next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for working our way, for the ability to work our way through this passage and to see that no human being put this together. You did. And you gave to Daniel what we need to lean upon now during these days that we're living. Pray that we would do that. Pray that we would realize that you're going to remove us from the planet. You're going to snatch us out of here. And you're going to finish the 490 years that are determined upon your people. You're going to finish it, just like you said. And one day we will enter that 1,000-year kingdom as you promised. And Father, for those who do not know Jesus Christ, they need to be drawn to the Savior. They need to trust Him as the one who died to pay for their sin, to give them forever life. In Jesus' name, amen.